Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Good morning. Recording in progress. This is what we do all the time. We have these markers, we call them birthdays. They're not real, they're made up. They try to have some sort of continuity of existence where there isn't any. It's making, it has nothing to do with what's real. So we won't try to get to what we are from what we're not. So we'll let that whole birthday celebration thing go for now. I wanted to talk a little bit about equanimity. Buddha's original teaching of the Eightfold Path, the first teaching of directing you to your own mind for understanding the cause of suffering and why things are the way they are for you, and also what the solution is. So one of those is intention, the correct intention, correct understanding. So this is, what our practice is coming to understanding of self and recognizing the difference between what is real and what is not. With the right intention, you already have to have the understanding of no self. As long as there's an identification with or a making of self, because there's this duality of me and outside of me, then of course you're already creating suffering. So equanimity comes in as everything being equal. From the point of view of just this, then nothing is special or other. So relationship from correct attitude or correct view is you're not stuck in the deluded view of there's me and there's other. The beauty of great love, great compassion, is because we are free from any notion of self. Freedom from the notion of self is the end of suffering. So Sangha is really wonderful because learning from each other, understanding what equanimity really is, what is real and what isn't. So this coming together this way, although there seems to be all these individuals here, and they all have their unique view of life and experience, nonetheless, there is this equanimity where our uniqueness is not what separates us. Our uniqueness is part of the equanimity. Really difficult to talk about or intellectualize or to understand from that point of thinking. It's an experiential thing. Buddha's Eightfold Path was pointing us to our own experience of how to change our thinking, our attitude, our desire nature, and point it in the direction that is more useful, helpful, and ultimately gets us to wake up to what equanimity really is. Everything that I talk about is always the same thing. I just try to approach it from a different angle to see what happens. My favorite lately is Wednesday's talk on the still point, stillness. You can't find stillness when you're agitated, when you're identified with that agitation, in other words. So even though the cars drive by and are making a sound, we're not agitated. We're in our still point. Cars come, cars go. Waves rise, waves fall. That's not an extension of ourselves, you see. That's not an extension of this identification. It's not an agitation when you're not identified with it as an agitation. So still point is like all those times I've talked about that seesaw and that focal point in the middle still point. Getting back to the Noble Eightfold Path, understanding, wisdom, correct meditation, all of that, that's what it's about. It's just pointing at the still point, which has nothing to do with your idea of self. It's equanimity. Still point is universal, undefiled, and can't be pinned down, but you can experience it, which is different than analyzing it, thinking about it, adding it to your stockpile of beliefs. It can only be experienced. Can't think your way out of this one. My wife, Charlene, never celebrates holidays or birthdays, really. She's my little Zen master. She just beyond it. It would frustrate me sometimes because I kind of liked having that special piece of cake or hot dog or, you know, the fireworks going off. You think about birthdays and you think about your birthday. I mean, I don't know about you. I've been on the planet now 71 years. It's kind of ridiculous. But I appreciate the appreciation of acknowledgement. But that's different, you see, because we can acknowledge and appreciate each and every one every moment. Every moment is like a birthday in that respect. So gratitude for what we have and who we are, who's part of our lives, that doesn't require a special date or marker on a calendar. That's just where we make it up in order to delude ourselves into thinking there's some sort of continuity here. And also believing that there's some sort of separate entity that has this, form. It all starts with form. I mean, celebrating the 4th of July, really, that's our birthday. The United States of America was born on the 4th of July. Just like you were born when? What moment? Exactly. So everything is being born and dying every moment. So to appreciate this moment is to appreciate everything. And you have equanimity. Past is gone. The future's not here yet. So just be here now, as they say. So the still point within the movement is what I talked about. So we're going through all this movement, and there's this still point. It's not attachment. It's beautiful. So I know each of you are experiencing this in your own way. You have moments in your lives, I know, that are extremely wonderful and beautiful and heart-opening. You can't help it. It's essentially who we are. So that essence has got to shine through at some point in everyone's life, some moment that is just beyond description. My favorite moments are your smiles. When I walk through a grocery store and somebody makes eye contact and smiles, it's like, wow, that's it. That's the moment. What are we seeing before we make any sort of judgment about it? Before we color it with our ideas of this and that. But just at the moment of eye contact and smiling, what's happening? There's no thinking. It's like, you know, the Zen master going, God! So I'm happy to be here today.
So in terms of your topic and the equanimity, it was funny because during my meditation, one of the things I thought about is that my wife has her 70th birthday in a couple of weeks. And I wanted to make a party for her or something to note it. Because I know when I was 70, not that long ago, my daughter came in and surprised me. And we had a get together with friends. And even though it was about me, in a large respect, it wasn't. It was about gratitude for the people in my life today, the friends that I have, people that wanted or were happy to have an occasion to come together and to acknowledge whatever the birthday meant. Yeah. But it made me feel good.
Yeah.
And so notwithstanding what you said, I'm going to try to make her a party, whether she wants it or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have a party. Remember, I also said about Sangha, that how important us getting together as a community or friendships or was and is for our ability to recognize great love, great compassion, gratitude, and these kinds of things that help us to see what's really happening here. So to get out of, like you said, out of our heads, out of our, you know, just thinking about ourselves and having a more generous view, a more bodhisattva view of it's not just about me, but it's about all of us. And we're all in it together. So, yeah, so celebrating like that, that's just, you know, to me, it's just expressing expedient means for getting to a broader, more loving place that's compassionate and caring. So, great. Have a wonderful celebration. I think that's
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that still point, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be watching, you could be going to a 4th of July party and watching fireworks, and that's fine. Just as long as you don't believe the rhetoric that comes with it. You know, it's like, what's happening here? It's, what is this? And so as long as you understand what this is, then, you know, you're not deluding yourself. You're not creating more problems for yourself and others. Then wonderful. Whatever you're doing doesn't really matter in the sense of creating suffering, because you're not. So.
I would just like to say I like cake.
I would just like to say me too.
Me too, but I try not to be attached to it.
For all the Marie Antoinettes in the group.
Yeah, I think, you know, Buddha had lots of cake. Buddha's expedient means was cake. Some of the later sutras, he talks about it a little bit. Buddha says, yeah, it was just cake. Had to like give them a taste so that they would open up a little bit and then give them what they can understand. And if all they can understand is cake, that's what I'm going to give them. So have your cake and eat it.
Meditation is really a piece of cake.
Yeah. Oh boy, you guys are really on target today. It's good. We're celebrating. Anything else? On a more serious note? No. Well, carry on. Have a wonderful day. Be well.